Nancy and Shush were very kind about 2 or 3 months ago to recognize that I love poetry. One of my study partner was one of the first to recognize how much I love the Psalms, and like math, I'm going to come out as loving poetry, especially 20th century poetry. And so I'm also delighted by the very human poetry and Hebrew poetry of our Bible. Especially Psalms, but elsewhere, Hazinu, as you noted, is a deep favorite of yours, and no doubt mine too. The songs are, well, not all of them I'm equally fond of, but this one is quite lovely. So the musical sections, as I noted, are very early, and as I've noted elsewhere, the bardic tradition did exist in some forms in our community. My assumption, and I think Richard Elliott Friedman disagreed with me about this, is that the earliest strata of our scripture were stories and songs sung at campfires and the like to regale one's loved ones and family and clan. So Lawrence Kushner, not to be confused with Harold Kushner, Lawrence himself a fantastic and respected writer in his own right in the Reform movement, and whose son was also a friend of my sister's, talks about both this week's parasha and poetry in general, and he points out that poetry works. Words like rain can be soft like morning dew that gently offers itself the earth's vegetation, tending to its growth, or words can be like torrential rains that destroy and uproot. Just as plants need different rains to nurture their growth, people need different words as well. There are times when gentle speech is required, and there are times when harsh words of rebuke are needed. Know well the kind of words needed and speak them well, warns our teacher. All words properly delivered are of the living God. Whatever good or bad you might say of Moses, his ability to tailor his speech to his audience is highly recognized. Bill Clinton had that ability. I've talked about that elsewhere. And what I think, or what I want to talk to you about just briefly, is the manifold ways we can receive God, the manifold ways we can experience God, and the manifold ways in which we can transmit holiness. And the ways in which all of them, our whole self, can go into holiness and religious experience, and spiritual experiences, of course. And I think poetry is a good metonym or synecdoche. Metonym, I think, is the word I'm looking for. For all that, it's a good stand-in for all of that, because poetry is itself diverse. There's so many ways to express oneself poetically, from rugged speech to very imagistic speech, that I think it's a good Hazinu, and Hazinu itself goes through that panoply of human emotion and experience, from the violent and brutal to the uplifting and dew-like. I think that's quite nice, the way the Torah expresses itself, not just in many kinds of poetry, but in many genres of literature and experience, and many types of content, from Leviticus to the narratives of Jacob to the sort of arias, effectively, of Deuteronomy, and something for everyone in a lot of ways. I wouldn't say immediately that it's a multi-intelligence book, but it certainly has a lot of different appeals. And Mike, we were talking about, would that there were more kinesthetic practices in Judaism. It's a lot of oral and aural, a lot of written, a small amount of math, but not a lot of movement. So that's something I'm debating how to reclaim. And my personal opinion is that in about 100 years, there'll be a thing in Judaism that looks a lot like yoga, but we will claim it never came from yoga. Just as the Kabbalistic tradition probably originated 60% or more from Sufi mysticism, but no one would ever admit to that. It's entirely Jewish. And I think that's great. I think those are great. Those you call that syncretism, the way you draw in other cultures into your culture is valid and uplifting and very powerful. And that's a piece of how Judaism renews itself in every generation, frankly. So a Judaism and a spiritual experience, a religious system that appeals to different types of people in different ways at different times is always necessary. As we saw in Yom Kippur, for some fasting is very powerful, I'm one of them. For some, it's hugely unpleasant. There must be people out there who really enjoy Passover cleaning, but I don't know many of them. Actually, I can imagine a few. So Mordechai Menachem Mendel of Vorka said this thing on this week's parasha that I always find very enigmatic, but very like a koan. It's very beautiful nonetheless. I'm going to read it to you. These are the three indications of a salt of the earth type. They know how to surrender while standing erect, shout by being silent, and dance with no movement whatsoever. Surrender while standing erect, shout by being silent, and dance with no movement whatsoever. I love that as a description of sort of the vastness of human experience. And when he's talking about the salt of the earth, I mean, the phrase in Yiddish is not, but could be pintala yid. There's a concept in, especially in the Hasidic movement, of the pintala yid, the small, sort of sturdy and pure and simple Jewish person. In no pejorative way that was sort of said about Gene Rosenberg. Unflashy, pure, direct, incredibly Jewish. And that's a high praise to call someone a pintala yid. And I think that's a bit what he means when he says salt of the earth. That it's about experiencing your Judaism and God and holiness throughout your whole being, with every fiber, but doing it in a humble way. But not an easy task. And I think, I guess what I'm talking about also is bringing our whole self to our religious experience. Not just our intellectual self, not just our worship or musical self, not just our affective self, but the part of us that loves to dance, and the part of us that loves to laugh, and the part of us that takes delight in nature, and the part of us that rages, and the part of us that resents, and the part of us that can be grouchy at 7 in the morning at Minyan. But to bring your whole self to Judaism, and really to anything you do, whether it's your career or Christianity, whatever it might be in one's life, that's a challenge. To bring the appropriate amounts of one's whole authentic self at the appropriate times. And I've said before, so Carlos Santana, weird dude that he is, you know, even a stopped clock is right twice a day, he said something very beautiful. And he says that sensuality and spirituality are enwrapped like the red and the white on a candy cane. And I like to take that saying, which I agree with, and bring it here, which is that I think reverence and irreverence are also inextricably linked. The only proof text I have from that in our tradition comes from the Talmud, which there's a rabbi, Rabbi Broche, who encounters Elijah. And they're in a marketplace, and he's asked Elijah, who's got a place in the world to come? And Elijah points to this and that one, and the last person he points to is these two goofballs in the corner. And Elijah, you know, walks off, departs. And so Rabbi Broche approaches them and says, you know, I am curious what you do with yourselves. Because, you know, in the back of his mind, these must be holy men. These must be tzaddikim and pious men. And they said, we're jesters. He says, but then they explain, we see two depressed men, we cheer them up. When we see two people quarreling, we strive hard to make peace between them. So I'm, among many things, I'm really grateful we are a congregation that laughs. I interviewed somewhere else 2 weeks after I interviewed here, and I told what I think of as a very Parv joke. Like, I don't think Arnold Schwarzbart would have laughed. And the rabbi, the senior rabbi there said, I can't believe you told that in a class. That's a very spicy joke. And I'm like, no, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. This is probably not the place for me. Somewhat parenthetically, but not wholly, if you have a chance this weekend, obviously not today because it's Shabbat, but HBO has a new show with one of my favorite comedians, Gary Gulman. And it's available on YouTube, I think, through the end of the weekend in honor of Mental Health Weekend. A pastor downtown said he views stand-up comics as the prophets of our age. And this sort of renaissance of stand-up comedy we're experiencing now, I think, goes to that. I think the great stand-up comics are confronting major issues of our age. And this special with Gary Gulman is about his mental illness. said, had radically severe depression. And his ability to make you laugh and think at the same time is fantastic. I highly recommend it. I probably would use it in a class. I probably would use it in spiritual teaching about illness and health and depression and delight. And I think it's really a piece of bringing one's whole self. Patton Oswalt does a similar feat by making half an hour of comedy about his wife's recent death. You know, to take tragedy and trauma and to transform them into spiritual uplift and laughter. And if you understand, as I do, that laughter is an extremely holy thing, which is what the Talmud is saying. So this wholeness, this whole self that we bring to our actions, to especially our religious belief and practice, and the ways in which we take our whole selves, and ideally, with a lot of practice and a lot of effort and a life of effort, make our whole selves part of our Judaism and part of our civic experience and part of our families, is a beautiful thing, is a holy thing. And and then we got to remind God that we're doing it in a certain way. So Moshe Leib of Sasov, the Sasov Rebbe's, would remind the Holy Blessed One at this season. He would say, in Tachanun we say, Yehi chastecha Adonai kasher yichalnu lach. Let your grace be upon us just as we call out to you. Meaning, in as much as we strive towards you, God, you should relieve us of our burdens. And he says, just as we wait upon you, Master of Worlds, even though we don't see nor apprehend you, simply being faithful, maybe you could measure us by the same measure. Even if you don't find good works in us, maybe you could give us some charity and faith and accept that they're probably there. So, I really think that's sort of, and it was in the Yehuda Halevi poem that I don't recall who read it on Yom Kippur, but the idea of even as we go out to God, God is coming towards us. And the trite idea, the more you put into it, the more you get out of it. But really, the farther you strive in yourself to reach God, God takes 10 steps for everyone. And I'm going to close with the question of shalom, it is one of my soapboxes. I always found it frustrating when rabbis had these stupid little soapboxes, but here it is. Shalom is certainly does not mean hello or goodbye. We use it as a greeting, but it has never meant, nor does it mean hello nor goodbye. It doesn't exactly mean peace either. It comes from the same root as concept of wholeness. So I think it means, as I've said this, forgive me for saying it again, it means peace only in as much as wholeness and harmony and completion, I think it means completion, are prerequisites for a peaceful life and a comity between nations. So the Mishnah in Uktzin says that Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta said that the Holy Blessed One never found a strong enough vessel to contain blessing for Israel except for peace, except for shalom. Which is to say, there was nothing God could offer the Jewish people greater than wholeness. Wholeness and holiness and peace. The peace that is attendant to and a result of wholeness. Quoting Psalms, Adonai oz la'mo yitain, Adonai yivarech et amo v'shalom. God will give strength to God's people and God will bless Israel with shalom, with wholeness, with harmony, with completion, with peace. And so I think that transaction is obviously the wrong word, but that reciprocity and interaction of bringing one's whole self and God returning the blessing by giving us wholeness to supplement our richness is just a great wish for all of you this year coming up.